Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 8th of December, and I'm recording at 9:45 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time in London. Now, interesting day in here. I know I say that a lot, but my goodness, it's certainly true most of the time. But let's start with stock markets, as I often do. And with the stock markets, well, Japan was up a little bit higher, helped by the recent weakness of the Japanese yen. And also the China market really is the big story in here, and it's pretty well the greater China region. The Hang Seng Index, which has been way behind the Shanghai A-Share Index since all the problems of demonstrations in Hong Kong, only gained 45 points here. That's less than a fifth of a percentage point here. But the Shanghai Composite Index surged higher. Again, it was up 2.81% today. This is almost unbelievable for what is a really big stock market here overall. And it's gone charging into first place in terms of this year's gains. Shanghai Composite is up 40% in U.S. dollar terms. And it also weakened the renminbi. I actually weakened here against the dollar today, but that's reflected in that 40% gain. Whereas India running into a little, excuse me, little profit taking has slipped back below the 33% gain level for the year. And a number of other big gains in these markets, including Indonesia and Thailand. Thailand slightly better, up over 20%. Now the European stock markets were softer in here today. And one good reason for that taking place, well, first they had a very big gain on Friday, but then we saw weakness on Wall Street, which I'll get to in a moment. But the CAC's down 1%, the Euro Stoxx 50 down 9/10 of a percentage point, FTSE 100 down just over 1%. With the resources stocks really helping to drag that down further here today. But some of these European markets had seen a good run starting in the middle of October, but now recently they've sort of been sort of losing upside momentum, and not all of them. Not all of them, but there's certainly a little bit of concern about what's going to go on and whether or not between the ECB and the other Mario Draghi and the other people on his ECB council, and whether or not Mario Draghi is going to be able to push ahead with his quantitative easing after that big meeting and vote in January. So QE is on hold, certainly at this stage. That may lead to a little bit of nervousness. Wall Street down 3/4 of a percentage point on the S&P 500, a little bit more on the NASDAQ 100. Index. And again, Wall Street's been very overbought. I mean, it was quite an incredible move to the upside from that mid-October low, just moving up practically in consecutive days. A paler version of what we've seen on China in a shorter period. Elsewhere in the Americas, Canada hit here down 2.28%, and again it's the weakness of oil prices, and Mexico also getting hit, and Brazil down 3.31%, and that's certainly Got a lot to do with the with the resources prices. So mixed picture here overall. Some loss of upside momentum. We're likely to see some mean reversion here overall. China, you know, I'm a big bull on China, as I am a big bull on India and also Japan. China is really overbought here in the short term, and so I think that the next buying opportunity is going to appear fairly soon, and that'll be a reaction and consolidation. But I don't expect it to be a huge reaction, and I, you know, maybe we get 5%, something like that. And I don't expect it to be ranging for a very, very long time. My impression is looking at the Chinese bull runs that they usually occur, or perhaps they only occur, when the government is really behind the move, and then just everyone's in lockstep, and you get pretty much of a sprint, and that's what we've seen so far. But it's just the initial sprint off very cheap level, low level. And as I say, it will pick up. But having heard some of those earlier percentages, if I just give you the U.S. percentages, you know, NASDAQ leading here, up 13.5%. The S&P up 11.5%. Everybody talks about how incredibly strong Wall Street is, and it's a very good performance here. But of course, it's been blown away by what China and China and India and some of the other Asian markets have been able to achieve so far this year. I'll mention that only just to put it in these moves into perspective. And of course, yes, the USA had a very big move in 2013, but not as big as Japan's move. Okay. Moving on here. What about these long-dated government bonds? Well, the yields are down here. The U.S. Treasuries that slipped back to 2.55, 2.255 percent on the 10-year. So no real upward pressure there. I'm writing a piece on it, which right now, and I just think that something that is has been easy to underestimate, although I've talked about technology endlessly, I haven't emphasized so much, except in the unemployment sense, the some of the disinflationary and deflationary aspects of technology. Basically, the fact it makes everything else more efficient, provides more goods, be able to use them more productively, more efficiently, and that helps to keep inflation in check. So does globalization, of course. So these are quite important factors here, which may hold these bond markets in this range for longer than we'd all expected. And you remember last year, or at the beginning of this year, I think a lot of us, myself included, were saying, well, watch out, you know, when you see that US 10-year move above 3%, that'll be a little bit of a warning shot. Well, we're nowhere near that 3% here right now. And I think that, again, technology is a big factor, along with globalization, in terms of keeping these bond yields lower for longer. That doesn't mean that I'd want to go in and buy the bond market. I'd much rather be in the equity market because we, okay, you may think some of these bull runs at 6.5 years are a little bit long in the tooth, but they started at low levels, whereas we're talking about a 3-decade run in bonds. On the longer term, I think that to the extent that technology and globalization are helping to keep inflationary pressures lower than they would have been in other cycles, or were in other cycles, That's good for the equity bull trend overall. It's another factor that's in line with my super cycle, secular bull market run that this service has mentioned over the last few years. So don't get out of your equities too quickly. But equally, then we have to live with the equity positions and valuations on a day-by-day basis. So you want to be careful when things get quite overextended in the short term, and look to buy after some pullbacks. Okay, now what else has happened in here today? The U.S. dollar index is a little bit easier today. Again, that had a huge day to the upside on Friday, so it's given up maybe a quarter of that at most. And some of these currencies, well, the euro is a little steadier at 123.17. Sterling a little steadier, 1.5653. Aussie dollar, though, a little weaker. Again, big resources producer, down to 0.8294. Yeah, did I mention the Chinese renminbi? I think I did in the beginning, but I'll just touch on it again. That had been gradually easing over the previous couple of months, very, very gradually, but fell quite sharply in here today against the U.S. dollar. But some of these other Asian currencies, particularly among the former little tigers, Indonesia, for instance, breaking down out of a big sideways trading range against the greenback. So there's a lot going on here in this currency market, which can be quiet for very long periods, but is heating up here with the dollar so very strong. And some of these other currencies reacting moving quite sharply downwards. And I suppose, as far as the Chinese renminbi was concerned, seeing the strength of that dollar, which they would not have wanted to match, seeing their rivals within the Asian region in particular, having their currencies weaken. Okay, and what else here is of interest? Industrial metals just still ranging here for the most part. Tad easier in here. The copper is down to 2.88. That's the U.S. copper contract. Precious metals. This is it's kind of been all over the place here today. But I'll just give you a quick summary here. Palladium. That's down nearly 2.5 at eight. It's just above the $800 level. Silver, it's had a range of between 1611 to 1635, and it's currently up about 5 cents here at 1625. And platinum, not a bad day for platinum. It's at 1233.50. That's up 14. And gold, which had one of the bigger swings. Gold was lower earlier in the day. Got down to 187. I'm looking at the futures, December futures contract. It was down at 1187, but then picked up a fair amount. And the spot gold, that's the one you're probably more interested in, is at 1203 and change. Is it going to have another near-term look at that previous resistance just above the or just around that 120 level? I wouldn't be surprised, but we will see. Crude oil, weak. Really weak in here today. This the real eyebrow raiser here. The WTI is at 63 as I speak. That's down $2.84, and the Brent. I'll just bring that up. A similar move. Well, down almost $3 in here. The Brent is at 66. 0.11. Needless to say, Russia was weak on that news. All the oil exporting countries' stock markets are weak in here against that background overall. Now, remember, that's bullish for most of the globe, the predominantly oil exporters excepted, obviously. And that weak crude oil is a reason why I would expect not much more than just a pullback, consolidation, some reactions in here among these what have been these informed stock markets, so-called healthy correction, and probably not a whole lot more. Before we get a little bit more year-end rally. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.